Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. It's so great to see you guys. Excited that you're here. Today is a special day, and today is kind of one of these landmark days in the history of Calvary Chapel, and I'll explain why in a moment, but we're going to be doing something different. We're going to get back into our regular study in Mark next week, but we're going to veer away from that this week and look at new beginnings and God's faithfulness. And I want you to open your Bibles up to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, and while you're cheating and looking at your tabs and trying to find it, then let's pray. And ask for God to bless our time together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this special day today that it is, and for this new landmark that we're coming to here, Lord, as a movement. God, we've seen your faithfulness in the past up to this point. And Lord, if there's anything we've learned about you, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are faithful from beginning to end. And even as you were faithful then, you're going to be faithful now. And so we thank you in advance for what you're going to be doing in our lives personally and what you're going to be doing in this fellowship as a whole, in our city, and Lord, through us in our outreach to the world. So we thank you, God, and I pray now you'd open your word to us. I pray, God, you would again just show us our history, God, and where we're going, and just clearly seeing your faithfulness today, not just for us, again, but for our individual lives, God. Let this be a faith-building day, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One other thing, too, the Shepherd's class is going to be postponed. For those of you wanting to go to the Shepherd's class, it'll be postponed until the 21st. Something has come up where I can't start it next weekend. So the 21st, it won't be next weekend. It'll be the weekend after that. Guys, as we look at this today, we're looking at new beginnings. God is a faithful God of new beginnings and promises of the past and of the future. And this is what we're looking at when we look at Zechariah. We're going to tie all this together. Our journey is going to be in Zechariah. Then we're going to look at our history as a church and where we're going, and then finish with Haggai, which is right next to Zechariah. So that'll be easy enough today. First of all, the setting here of Zechariah. Here's what had happened. They had been taken into captivity into Babylon. They had finished their 70 years of God's judgment. They'd come back to the land, and now they're back in the land. They lay the foundation for the new temple. And Zechariah is the prophet over the area. Zerubbabel is the governor over the area. Haggai is, again, the prophet, and Joshua is the high priest at that time. So God is now working in all of them, and they lay the foundation of the building. But then after they lay the foundation, they run into lots of opposition from all their surrounding neighbors, and legal problems happen. They hire they write to the king, and they get the king to stop their project, and all they got was the foundation laid. Remember, they had Solomon's temple, which was a magnificent structure that was burned down by the Babylonians. And then they rebuild this new one here, if you will, build the temple here that's going to be built again for the coming kingdom. And they are discouraged because they get it started. It gets stopped right away, and about 20 years goes by. Between 18 to 20 years goes by before they can rebuild the temple and get started again on it. And the people have gotten a little bit sleepy. They're kind of getting where they're not really paying attention to the things of God as much, maybe giving up on the building project and what God had said he was going to finish. So God raises up Zechariah and Haggai to speak to the leaders of the nation and to remind them, now it's time to finish the work. And sometimes God will start a work in your life, and then it'll go on hold for a while. God's not on hold. He just needs to do things in your life, to work in your life, and then God will start it again. God didn't forget you. God hasn't changed his mind on his promises to you. He will be faithful, but sometimes there's a delay in the action. So that's where they are. Zechariah's Zerubbabel's wondering, God, what are you going to do? What are we supposed to do? So many years have gone by. And then God moves in Zechariah's heart here in chapter 4 and says this. He says, starting in verse 1, now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So again, Zechariah is awakened by the Lord. And again, there's a picture here, not only of Zechariah being awakened out of his sleep, but there's a picture of the people being asleep in the sense of the work of God. And it's almost like it's time to wake up. It's interesting, Haggai's name, we're going to see him later, his name means festive. And so it's going to be a celebrating time for them. It's a reannouncement of finishing the project that they started so many years earlier. And they're going to be celebrating and be festive. So God raised up a guy with a name that means festive and celebrating. But at the same time, God's going to use Zechariah and Haggai as alarm clocks. How many of you guys love your alarm clock? I don't care what setting I put it on. I don't care whether it's crickets or a horn or whatever you want to make it sound like. I don't care how loud or quiet it is. I hate it when it goes off. That's the job of a prophet. you hear the word of the Lord and he confronts us in our sin and what God wants us to do, and we hate it. Turn that off. Hit the snooze button. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to repent. I don't want to change. I don't want to start the project again. We're beyond that. We're just going to live our life. We got stuff going on, etc. So God now uses Zechariah to be this alarm clock. He uses Haggai to be this alarm clock. And while it was unpleasant to hear, we're going to see the people do indeed wake up and they respond. And I'm not saying we're asleep. Don't get me wrong. I think the church as a whole is sleepy in America. I think we'd agree with that. That doesn't mean that everyone here is sleeping, but if you are sleeping, then it's time to wake up. And if you're offended by the fact, well, I can't believe the pastor said I need to wake up and repent, maybe that's because God is speaking to you prophetically, and it's an alarm clock you don't want to hear, but when you start to think about it and wake up a little bit, you wiggle your toes and blink your eyes a few times, you realize maybe I am a little bit sleepy in the spirit. Maybe I really have gone to sleep. Maybe it is time for me to wake up and get out of that spiritual bed, the sleepy bed, if you will, on the bad spiritual side, and walk with God again. And so, again, he wakes him up. There's a lot of symbolism going on here for the nation because he's about to move them back into their building project. So I said, I'm looking and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes on seven lamps. He's looking at the menorah. Remember, it's got seven bowls on top. And again, these bowls were these just canisters, really, that had a lid that came up, and you'd pour oil in those canisters, put the wick in there, and then light them, and that was the light for the temple, burning that. So it's a picture here of the lamps that are burning in the temple, but this is interesting because typically the priests have to go and fill those on a regular basis to keep them burning, and it took some work. You had to bring a little ladder in there. You had to lift it up. You had to fill it, retrim the wicks, make sure it was burning properly. But notice this is different. Look at verse 3. There are two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on the left. Now, we're not going to read later in the chapter because we're going to be moving to other places, but we're going to see that what he sees is they're being fed by this golden tube. There's something feeding the bowls and keeping them filled with oil so that the priests aren't having to come and fill it up. And any priest would have loved that because it meant he didn't have to do it, number one. But secondly, what it was a picture of, God says, I'm about to do a work that I'm going to do, and it's going to be by my Holy Spirit. You're not going to have to do anything. Well, we've got our job. Certainly, you have to do something. The priest had to show up. They had to be there. They had to prepare for what a priest was to do. But the point God was making was, is by my Holy Spirit, I'm going to do the work. It's going to be by my power, not what you do, Joshua the high priest, or any other priest. I will supernaturally do it from heaven. And now we have that flow of the Spirit from heaven in our lives, which is why I encourage you to pray each and every day, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's a picture of being filled by the Lord on a regular basis. So I answered verse 4. I spoke to the angel who talked with me and said, what are these, my Lord? And then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That is not by your efforts, Zerubbabel, not by what you're doing or trying to do, but by what I'm going to do by my Holy Spirit. And again, remember, as they had tried to build the temple at the first time, they were blocked by all the legal things and all the complaining neighbors and all that went with that. They couldn't move forward, which had delayed it for many, many years. Kind of sounds a little too familiar to me. But God says, hey, but here's the bottom line. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. You're not going to get it by your efforts. It's going to be when I'm ready to move by my power and by my spirit. And what a peace that gives. And so he says, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. That is, the things that have been stopping you and holding you back from finishing what I called you to do, I'm going to wipe it out of the way. By my power, by my might, I'm going to make it a straight way for you and finish the project. And notice he says, and he, that is Zerubbabel, shall bring, well, the Lord and Zerubbabel together, but Zerubbabel here finishing the project in picture, he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. What he's saying is the capstone is what you put on it when you finish the project. It's done. And we got our pillars done up there on the gate at the upper road up there, and they put the capstone on just last week. So the capstone is there. That means you're finished. You're putting on the capstone. So what he's saying is, I'm going to put the capstone on this project. And you're going to look at it when you look back and say, this was definitely the grace of God. Multiple grace, 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 if you will, to it. Because it wasn't done by man, it was done by the Lord. And God was showing them the work that he had done was completely by him, even as God has shown us the work that he's done here at Calvary Chapel Knoxville from beginning all the way to the end has completely been the Lord. It's not been man's efforts, it's been God. As a matter of fact, if anything, man's efforts would have slowed it down, and I'm speaking of me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. God's not done. God's going to be faithful. And by the way, take that as a promise personally for you. The work that God has begun in your life, if you're wondering, God, where are you? When is this going to be finished? Listen, God always makes the man before he makes the ministry. God always makes the man or the woman before he makes the life. He works in us first. And once he gets us molded into what he wants us to be, then he moves us into what he's called us to do. And so God is working in your life. Be patient. Sometimes these things take years. And you have to say, okay, God, I'm willing to wait for years. I don't like it, but I'm going to wait on you to do what you want to do. They've been waiting for many years to finish their project, even as we have been waiting for many years to finish our project as well. Although God has been faithful to give us a place to meet. He says, then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. When you see it come to pass, you'll realize, indeed, this was the word of the Lord. And look at this encouragement he gives to Zechariah. To Zechariah and to Zerubbabel. Again, really, this was something God really encouraged me with in the early days of the ministry here in Knoxville. He said, for who has despised the day of small things? Again, it's easy to despise it when things don't seem as important to us as we'd like them to seem. And this can go on a church level. This can go on a personal level in your life. And maybe whatever you feel God's called you to do. God says, don't despise the day of small things. It's in the time of small things that God is doing the detail work in your life. And that God is doing the detail work in this fellowship and in this body. And notice this. He says, for these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Another scripture tells us that God's eyes scan to and fro throughout the entire earth, looking for those he can show his power through. Do you want to be that person? Then seek the Lord. Say, God, here I am. I know your eyes are roaming to and fro across the face of the earth. Here I am. Use me. Now, what that means is it doesn't mean the next day you're suddenly going to find great success in all that you do. What it means is God says, all right, I'll take you and I'll use you. And there's going to be a process and it's going to take time to get there. But if you don't quit, if you don't give up, if you stay faithful, I will be faithful and I will do in your life what I promised to do. And so again, there's several things to note here. First of all, the small things. He says the seven eyes rejoice to see the plumb line. The seven eyes mean the eyes of the Lord. And it's not that the Lord has seven eyes. He's using this symbolically of completion. The number seven in Scripture means completion. And what he's saying is God sees everything going on in your life. He could say that to each of you this morning. He sees everything in your life. He sees your past, your present, your future. He saw the past, the present, and the future of what was going on with the children of Israel there in at this time was Zerubbabel. He sees the same thing with us here at Calvary Chapel. And he says, I rejoice when I see that, even in the small days, because you have the plumb line in your hand. Guys, a plumb line is what construction workers use to find what's straight and what's true. What is a modern application of what the Lord is calling the plumb line? The Word of God. This is your plumb line. What it means is something that keeps you true. It keeps you straight on the right target with the Word of God and what God is calling you to do and staying not to the left or the right, but making sure that things are built the proper way and are true. And what God is saying is, when I see a believer's life, whether they're in the times of small days or large days, if they're being faithful to my word and staying true to my word like a builder with a plumb line, then I'm going to bless them. It is a blessing to me. Notice, I love this. It says, he rejoices. Did you know you could make the Lord rejoice? If you're faithful to the word of God and to him and you stay true, God rejoices over you. The Bible even talks about the fact the Lord sings over his people. Isn't that a blessing? And so God is faithful to do that. He's telling that now, encouraging Zerubbabel. And again, his eyes are looking for this as he scans to and fro throughout the world. Now, with that said, again, we come to a day of what I call Calvary historical landmarks. And I want to give you a little bit of history here verbally. Then I'm going to show you a video, and the video is a little bit longer. And again, listen, today is a day you're going to learn Calvary Chapel's past, present, and future. You're also going to get to laugh at your pastor. Not with him. At him. But the reason I'm going to let you see this is because you need to see what God has done. And the only way you can see what God has done is to have my silly mug in the middle of it. But you're going to see what God has done. Now, a little bit of history real quick. I'm going to go long on this verbally before we get to the video. And the video is about 20 minutes long, so bear with me. But you're going to laugh enough. It'll go quick. Now, we started in the clubhouse. For those of you that don't know Calvary's history, we started in the clubhouse at East Knoxville. And again, the very first night we started, again, they locked us out. They forgot to open it for us. So we went around back to the swimming pool. There was one lady back there swimming. We shared the gospel with her. That was day one. We were there for about a year. These were the days of small things. And I'm telling you, they were very discouraging. I remember during those days or whatever, you know, we, Tracy and I jokingly say our favorite thing about the ministry at that time was Sundays, but not Sunday morning. It was when we'd go to Outback and have a chocolate Sunday. And they had this great Sunday there, and we would go just like depressed, at least, you know, like nobody's, why aren't people coming? It's so small. And then you feel worse after you ate all the chocolate. And I just felt good at the moment, but afterwards now you're all, why did I do that? You know, so it got even worse, right? That goes on for a year. We got to about 20 people after a year. And then we had to leave there. We said, God, we need a place to move the church to. We know you've called us. We're going to keep doing this. So where do we go? I'm looking for like a warehouse, maybe something we can live in, put a curtain up. We live on one side, meet with the church on the other side, get a phone call. And that was a landmark time there at the clubhouse. Now the next landmark, somebody calls up and says, actually, it was our my sister-in-law called up and said, there's somebody in our church, another church we used to go to, that wants to, again, needs a house sitter. They're going into missions. They need somebody to watch the house. So go check out the house, see if you think it would work. And we needed someplace big enough to meet and, of course, someplace we could live. And so we didn't have very much money. We had around, I think, $300. But we didn't have a lot of money we could do, you know, with all the other bills and what we had to live. At that time, I was working at Cracker Barrel waiting tables. And so we moved there. And we had more than $300 to live on. But, I mean, just like rent and all that goes with everything else. That's what we're kind of, I know that sounds crazy today. It's like absurd. But either way, God knows what he's doing. We go and look at the house. And it's this four-story, 10,000-square-foot mansion in Sequoia Hills. And I'm thinking, we might be able to do this. Had a tennis court, swimming pool, which we never used. But either way, the point was, I'm thinking, Lord, you're so amazing. I said, okay, you can live there, but it's going to be about $300 a month, $300, $350, I forget exactly. That's all we could afford. So all we could afford was a four-story, 10,000-square-foot mansion in Sequoia Hills. And I never forget, some guy delivering pizza came there one time. You've probably heard me share the story. He comes in and goes, hey, he goes, wow, what a house, man. He said, what do you do? I said, I wait tables at Cracker Barrel. He was like, whoa. But then I told him the story. I said, you need to go. It's a great, great job. Anyway, but I told him and, you know, got it cleared up. We were there for about a year and a half. And so we finished. By the way, I didn't realize until we got there. Tracy goes, I said, I can't believe God did this. She said, I was actually praying that we could live in a mansion for a while. Isn't God sweet? I said, I didn't know that. I said, no, I may give her other things to pray for. I mean, it's kind of a, either way. So we're there for about that. That was a landmark time. The church, there was a large area. We were able to get 90 chairs or so in back over there and have the church in. It was a big room, big music room they had in the house there. So then we moved from there to the next landmark that we had was the strip mall. We moved to the strip mall. We were there for about 13 years. And of course, the church grew to a few hundred people at that time. And it was a great time, a difficult time, but a great time as we saw God grow the ministry. That was another landmark time. And then we bought this property. And when we got the property, we had it for about 6 years before we were able to even start really doing anything. We bought it. We didn't really have the money to move forward. We're trying to take what we had and move forward as we could move forward. And so we bought the property and again, started praying about what God was going to do. But God had put a very clear vision, I believed in my heart, about what he was going to do in the property. And so that's what I want to show you the video about so you can kind of see the journey. Now, I may or may not use this mic, Miles, just so you know, actually, Benji. I brought it up here because I've used it. But if I can tell you the things I want to say before the video starts, in part of the video, I'm going to be talking about a road near Topside. That's our current driveway. So you know what that is in your mind when you see it. Also, I'll talk about where the building's going to be. There's going to say down below, we want to have an area where we can have seating and a play area and courtyard. That's now been moved down to the pavilion area, okay? And also, the video that goes up the road where you see our new driveway, which we'll hopefully be using within a couple weeks, there's a house at the very top you'll see in the video. That's the house that God gave us when we, again, the house that went for sale that God gave us that we were able to purchase right when we did the road. So you see God's hand in all of it. Maybe I won't have to interrupt and stop any of this, but bear with me. Now, look, this is a long time ago. I'm not going to make excuses. I'll just let you watch it, but it's going to walk you through. And it's funny because we showed the video, and they didn't say it to me, but somebody said, yeah, they showed a whole video there of the church beginnings, and Pastor Mark wasn't even in it. I said, that was Pastor Mark. So if you don't think I've changed, the outward man is perishing, but the inner man is getting stronger day by day. All right? So let's show the video.
Well, as you all know, we're about to enter into a very exciting time at Calvary Chapel, our very first building, our very first land. So what I thought I would do today is take you guys on a tour. Now, to begin with, what we're going to do is look at different aspects of the property, different aspects of the land, let you see it from different angles so you can see the property, get a feel for the property, and enjoy the property. The first thing I thought that would be really good to do is to give you kind of like a Alcoa John Sevier view of the property. Now, when you're coming around Alcoa, the first thing you're going to see when you're around that corner where John Sevier comes in is up there on that hill. And right up there is where, God willing, eventually our building is going to be. We'll start from here, we'll move the tour around, and we'll show you the ways we're going to be getting in, the ways we're going to be getting out, and some of the other things about the property. Let's go. Okay, what are we looking at now? Well, here's what we're looking at now. Let's get the story. Remember, 43 acres. We're up on the upper end of the 43 acres. Right behind me is Topside Road, rather right in front of me is Topside Road. And that's going to be one of the entrances. We're going to have this area right here gated during the week. But in service times, we'll be opening the gate where people can come in either from the Topside Road or down on the other side. Now, the main entrance is going to be down on John Sevier, so this will be used very sparingly, and especially in the first years, this will be used hardly ever because, well, as you can see, the road's not exactly developed, and we're probably not going to spend the money to develop the road right off the bat. It's probably going to be a little bit further down the road, but this road travels from Topside all the way down to the other side on John Sevier. The two will meet up in the property and branch out up to where the building is going to be. So, why don't we go now to the other side and see the main entrance that really everybody's going to be using. Come on, follow me. Okay, so where are we now? We're at the main entrance of the property. This is where you would come in on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, back and forth to the church. This would be the main way, not the Topside way. Remember, that would just be used during certain times. This is the main entrance of the property. Now, to give you a locator of where we are, well, we're right here on John Sevier. Back this way, we're heading back toward Chapman Highway and back toward the mountains. Actually going east, back that direction is west and back toward the lake. Alcoa Highway is also back that direction. So you would come off of Alcoa from either way, up John Sevier, and about right here on the property, somewhere probably 700 feet from the end of the exit down there, is where we're going to be going back and making the road go in. So we'll push in this way, go right down around and go up to that upper portion of the property where, of course, the building's going to be. So it's going to be a nice mountain drive up through there. It'll be neat. Now, what else will be here? Well, they're going to make us have some merge lanes coming into here, and we'll probably have some type of big Smoky Mountain stone type sign that says Calvary Chapel with little lights on it, the whole thing. Not at the first, but in the long run, just trying to give you the long-term vision. And so, again, it'll be very easily visible from both directions, very easily accessible from both directions. And again, just really going to look nice. I think it really is going to look like that you're pulling back into, well, a property, a Smoky Mountain retreat property. We'll see how it works out. Let's go look at something else. So where are we now? Well, hopefully, holy ground. I hope you've taken your shoes off, especially this being Sunday. You've got your Sunday best on. It's a little bit muddy up here. This is probably where the building's going to be built. We'll see once we get the full land development plan together. But as you can see, there's probably somewhere between a 5 and 6 acre flat spot right here behind me that is a perfect place for us to probably end up plopping down the buildings. We'll see how that goes. Again, there'll be things scattered out around the property in different areas. Now, where are we located? Well, as you can see, it's kind of neat because we have lake views. Now, of course, we see the interstate down there, rather Alcoa Highway and John Sevier. But right back behind it, as you can see, lake views. So not exactly on the lake, but still lake views. Kind of neat, huh? I think that's exciting. Well, hey guys, welcome to the next installment of our video update for the land. I'm really excited to be here with you today for a number of reasons. One, let me say this. The last time we were here, if you remember, no leaves. It was the winter time. We didn't have all the leaves, and now you can see what it looks like with all the leaves and the trees and all that's around. It's just beautiful. But something else we didn't have last time, if you remember correctly, was we didn't have this road that we're looking at now. Now we've knocked in a road from John Sevier. Probably most of you have seen it from driving by, but now we've actually brought the road in up here. We brought it down. It goes all the way up to the property, except where we have to cross the creek, and we'll talk about that when we get there in just a moment. But this is really exciting. I wanted you to see it because you may not get an opportunity to get back here. Look how grand the view is. Look how great it looks. And also, let me say this. God has blessed us with everything we could want here. We have deer. I just stepped past some deer tracks. We've seen deer up here several times. We have wild turkeys. We've got everything. And what's exciting to me, even more than that, is I really wanted kind of the getaway feel, kind of the retreat feel. And if you'll notice, we're right next to a major highway. And yet it still feels like we're getting away and going into the mountains. So that's the feel we want. God is blessing us. We're very excited. Now,
You probably wonder why I'm walking toward you slowly and doing my hands. I really just always wanted to look like one of those news guys who walked and did their hands. It's not working, is it? Okay, let's go to the next place. Come on, follow me. Now we're looking at a different view. I wanted to give you two views. You saw the view of facing this way, coming in. Now you're looking back toward the entrance, but I wanted you to see how grand this entrance is. I just love it. I had no idea when we cleared these trees out how it would look. I mean, with the tall trees and the wide road, it really gives it a very grand look, and I'm very excited about it. So it's going to be beautiful coming in. It's going to be beautiful going out. But I wanted you to see kind of what we get to see from in here and what you can't really see from the road. Let's go on down to the creek. We'll do a shot there, and then we'll work our way right on up the hill to where we'll see the grand finale. Follow me. Okay, now where are we now? What you're looking at now is you're looking at where our bridge is soon going to be, which will cross our stream. You know, I told you God would give us everything on this property that we could want. We've got hills, rolling hills, we've got the trees, we've got the wildlife, we've got the stream. But I wanted you to see where the bridge is going to come down to. Now, where we're standing now is, if you look back behind me, that's the direction we came in from the road from John Sevier. We're working our way from John Sevier up to the top of the hill. But I wanted you to see it all the way down to where the bridge is going to be. Now we're going to head over to the other side, take up where the bridge is going to keep going right on up the hill, and then finally get to the top where we'll talk about where the first building is probably going to be. But isn't this great? I love it. Let's go on. Well, here we are on the other side. Now we've crossed over the creek, at least where the bridge is going to be, and now you can see where it's going to come up this road that is not quite yet finished, but goes down to the creek part way, and then the road, and what a great view this is. Look at this. The road goes back up through here, and then up on top of the hill up here is where, of course, the first building and where the church is going to be. What a great view. So you've got this great drive coming in, you're rolling over the hills, coming down back up, and then finally we land up here on the very top, and it's going to be just a beautiful view and a beautiful place for the church. But again, I couldn't think of a better way for you to see it, but to show it to you. Let's go on up and let's finish looking at it. Come on. Well, here we are on, well, I guess Mount Calvary. Not the real Mount Calvary, but this is the mount where Calvary Chapel is going to be. Now, the last time you saw this, guys, remember there was a great big hill running all the way down where you're looking right now. We blasted that out. We cleared it out. As you can see, all this area behind me has been cleared out, and now we have an area that's prepped to build on. Certainly, there'll be some other prep that needs to be done, but it's getting pretty exciting now. Now, what's the layout going to be? Let me try to explain to you. What we're hoping is the first building will be a one-story building somewhere about right here. It will be our kids' ministry building, but it will also double as what we use for our sanctuary and everything the church needs for the first few years, or however long God has us wait until He gives us the rest. Then when we build on, we're going to build another section right here to my left, your right, which will be a large entryway with a high ceiling. We're hoping to have a real mountain feel type there in that hallway. It'll be very wide, very tall, maybe some skylights in the ceiling. There's going to be a big fireplace, areas you can sit. Hopefully the bookstore there next to the fireplace, a coffee shop, and just a great gathering spot between where the kids meet and on the other side where the adults meet. So there'll be that area we can meet right in the middle. Now, on the other side of that big hallway, what we want to happen then after that portion is done is to build our sanctuary. Now, as you can see over the hill, it drops off, and I know you can't see it real good, but we're hoping to maybe have a two-story building over there, the upper level being, of course, our sanctuary, the lower level being, well, whatever we need, a fellowship hall, more classrooms, whatever we feel that we need for the ministry. And so we'll do one story here into one story into two is the plan at this point, but we'll see how that develops as we work with the architects. Now, what's even more exciting is what we're going to do in the back. Hopefully in the back, what we want to do is build a courtyard down there. It'll be an area for sitting. It'll be an area for fellowship. It'll be an area for congregating and just hanging out. We're hoping to put a man-made waterfall back there with an outdoor baptismal so that people can gather and we can do our baptisms right here on the grounds. We hope to build a deck across the back connecting the two buildings so you can stand on the deck and watch the baptisms or sit out there with a cup of coffee, maybe on your at your table with a little umbrella and the whole thing and just looking really relaxed. It's going to be nice, a good hangout place. And so I'm excited about how this is going to pan out. Again, we don't know for sure, but be praying for God to give us wisdom on the best layout. We want something that feels very appealing. And again, is a getaway, but a place where you feel welcome to come and you're still not too far from where you need to be. Now, the last thing I want to miss to you guys that's very exciting to me is this. And that is, when I went to Israel one year, as we got to the Temple Mount steps, I noticed they were all built a little bit differently. There was a long one, there was a short one, there was another one a little bit longer, another one a little bit shorter, jagged steps all the way up. And I asked the tour guide, I said, why are the steps going up into the temple all jagged in different spaces apart? He said, well, because when people came into worship in that day, they wanted to make sure that their mind was on the Lord. that they had to concentrate on the fact that now they were entering into the place of worship to seek God. What's exciting to me is that it's exactly what this property is going to do. As they walked up the steps, they had to watch their step very closely so they wouldn't trip. They worked their way up to the mountain where the temple was, and they would have worship of the Lord. Well, you saw when we came in what it's like. We get to enter in through the trees. We get to get away from the city life, so to speak, and yet being right in the middle of it. Round some corners, cross a stream, come up to the top of the hill, and it gives us time to meditate and think about the fact that we're coming to worship the Lord. So even the entrance has me excited. I'm very excited, as you can probably tell. Now, what do we do at this point? Where are we as a church? Here's what we do. God has been faithful to bring everything we've needed financially up to this point, and I know He's going to continue to do it. By the time we put the bridge in, we probably will once again have spent the money that we have toward the building. So here's what I'm asking. Pray. Pray for God to bring it in and ask Him to do it in His timing, and pray that we would be patient to wait on Him. You know what to pray for. Be praying for wisdom as far as the layout of the property, the layout of the building on the outside, the inside, and especially, of course, the finances to do this project. We don't want to get ahead of the Lord, but we also don't want to lack faith in stepping forward in what the Lord is asking us to do. So continue to pray. We'll keep you updated. God bless you guys.
This is going to be the entrance to the property on this side coming in. We're standing on the road that'll be paved over leading up to the building. Portion of the property. The lower portion is going to be for ball fields, things like that. But because the building is going to be up here, we wanted to show you that today. The north, the Bible says that God's throne is on the sides of the north. The second Bible, I'm going to go and put it over here in the east corner. That's going to be representing Jesus, because He's going to come back in the east. Then I'm going to put one in the middle, which is going to represent the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity there. And that's going to be because the Lord is going to be in the center of our church. The last two I'm going to put on these two sides, because again, this is all the work of grace. And the number 5 in Scripture is the number of grace. And this is totally of the Lord. So I'm going to go up and place these, all right? I'll be right back. And I'm going to pray over each one and place them, and then we'll pray it in, okay?
Hang on. God is on our side. Far above all we know, far above all we hope, He has done great things, lifted up.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like I.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Has God been faithful or what? I told you you get to laugh at me. As God has been so faithful, and God is not done. There's a further work to be done, and I believe that God is now moving us into another landmark time, into a brand new building and a brand new thing that God wants to do, and I want to talk about that for just a moment as well. But it's been God from the very beginning. Again, those of you that know me, and especially now that you've seen that video, you can testify to the fact it has to be God. What the plan is now, where we're moving forward, is this. I want to show you some pictures and kind of talk about what we're going to be doing. This was always intended to be the kids' ministry building and to grow into later on the main sanctuary after that. So I want you to look at some pictures here. And here we have, I do need the mic here actually for this part. As you can see right here, this is the building we're in right now. We'll have a better shot of that in just a moment. You're saying, well, it doesn't look like that. They're going to have fascia on it when we're done. So this is what it's going to look like once we're done. We're down on that end down there. This is the new area right here, the large area I talked about with the high ceilings and the 150 foot by 80 foot big gathering area with the fireplace. Again, four-sided fireplace will be in there with couches around it. Probably there'll be a coffee shop inside there. Be a great place to come just to hang out before and after services, and hopefully even the students to come from UT and to hang out there as well. And so that'll be the main entrance for that. And then this over here will be where the new sanctuary is going to be. Now, this part's new. This is the new part we're doing now. We can't do this yet, but I believe that by the time we get to this, we're going to keep going. I think God's going to give us what we need to keep right on going. We'll see. The Lord knows. Let's see another picture here. So what it's going to be, this is where we currently are right now having church. We're down here in this part, okay? So it's going to look very different with the fascia on it, as you can see. It's going to go out both sides and going to go up. So it'll be a lower level,
and an upper level. And there'll be more rooms up there. There'll still be the area we're meeting in now will be where all the kids gather for kids' church. Then when they're done, this will be the main hall, the main door eventually that everybody comes in with the sanctuary eventually over here off the screen, the new sanctuary. But this will be this big gathering place because the way we do church at Calvary is, you know, we have the adults and the kids at the same time. They all release at the same time, so we needed a large area for everybody.